This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. Going to talk some Maryland hoops with the founder of InsideMDSports.com, Jeff Ehrman.
They got a big game today.
Big one.
Big game today, but it's the non-game stuff that is...
Might have a big distraction.
It's pretty intriguing.
Very interesting. Jeff, how are you?
Their game today? I've just been watching for the reality show.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, it's wild.
When did all of this, like, it just honestly came to my attention just a couple days ago. It seemed like sort of out of nowhere, all this sort of flirtation and stuff. When did this stuff actually, like, really begin?
Yeah, how long has their relationship been a little frosty?
Yeah, it escalated pretty quickly. You know, the relationship hasn't been amazing. I don't think it's been terrible. It hasn't been as much of a personal thing as, you know, Kevin Willers felt like, as he said yesterday, that his program was underfunded, especially now that we're nearing this revenue sharing era. And so I think it just kind of came to a head recently. There were probably a few things during the season that didn't help. I've been told that Willard was not happy when Evans, you know, went on the radio and talked about making excuses about travel and things like that. And, you know, he mentioned, obviously, it was just a surreal press conference yesterday.
Totally.
Especially for an NCAA tournament to see a guy basically announcing on behalf of his boss that his boss is leaving when no one else had publicly really confirmed it. I mean, we'd written about it, but there was nothing out there. Otherwise, there was no announcement.
Yeah, when did you guys start reporting that part?
So the night before, I had received a few texts about the SMU thing, and I chalked it up as possibly just a bad rumor. But then yesterday morning, it really started to heat up, and I got a few texts saying this is done, like he's going to SMU. So it became apparent, you know, earlier in the day, in the morning, that it was very likely accurate that he was leaving. And then, you know, I think Willard, seemingly to me, mentioned it as a way to kind of solidify that, you know, once you say it, you can't really come back. And obviously he was ready for a new boss. And, you know, whether you agreed with the timing or the appearance of it, which is definitely a chaotic appearance for University of Maryland to have this happen, he executed his plan, basically. And so now they hit the court, you know, not knowing who the AD will be when they get home.
It's almost like a mob hit. I mean, you know what I mean? Not in a real thing, but right?
It's like a huge power play by Willard.
Big time.
Yeah, Jeff, are you kind of surprised that he decided to go public with it and not wait until after the tournament or after they were eliminated?
You know, I'm not surprised that he went public with it to the extent that he did. Yes, like very surprised that he was as detailed. I mean, that was about a 2-minute long answer that he gave about, you know, that the NIL is so bad. They couldn't stay in, they were told they couldn't stay in New York City for Christmas because, you know, and I heard that one at the time that he was very upset that they said no to what would have been, a, you know, maybe a $15,000 expense, which is close to a rounding error for a program with that kind of revenue. And, you know, clearly it hasn't, it's been somewhat of an open secret for a while that he felt like, you know, Evans is a football guy. He's always going to send more resources to football. And Maryland is a basketball school. I think maybe he came in the door thinking, you know, everybody says Maryland basketball school. And he was thinking in those Big East terms, like a Seton Hall, where there really is just basketball and not football and all these other sports that need to be funded and everything else. But it'll be interesting now because, you know, he won that battle, but now it's also kind of destabilized things. And you have the transfer portal coming up on Monday without an AD to oversee. Wow. Assuming, you know, I don't know, it's possible maybe Damon gives a couple more weeks, or I don't know what the plan will be because I think it all just took off so quickly.
So, in your opinion, was Damon Evans good for Maryland, bad for Maryland, indifferent, middle of the road? What do you think, in your opinion, from your, who, people you talked to and your sources too?
Well, I think it's probably specifically hard for me because I've seen such a low level of athletic director over the years at Maryland that I don't know what to compare it to necessarily. But,
okay, all right.
He had some good. They did win a lot of non-revenue. You know, he did turn around the football program to some extent from where it was at, you know, with after Jordan McNair's death and with all the losing, you know, besides last year, Locke's had things going in the right direction. At the same time, many will say, well, you know what, he was quietly, he was the AD when the Jordan McNair's death happened and tried to kind of distance himself from that. That's one of the biggest things I think a lot of people have had against him. And then also the end of the Turgeon era, you know, did not go well. Obviously, you had that summer, whatever that was, 4 or 5 summers ago, where it was pretty clear he wanted Turgeon out. The fans wanted him out, but he wasn't able to get him out of there. And then he gives him an extension instead. And then 8 games into that season, Turgeon decides he's done. And that contract, which is almost fully guaranteed, he basically gives him that contract they had just signed to leave. So I think this past year, Turgeon was still the third highest paid employee in the state, by the state.
Jesus.
So,
do you think that they would, if he does go to SMU, and it sounds like he is, would they hire from within, like one of the assistant ADs, or are they going to go outside and look for one?
Yeah, that's the really million-dollar question right there. Colleen Sorum, who's been there for a while as second in command under Damon Evans, could be the interim AD possibly, or Kirby Mills, who's a, you know, kind of a rising star fundraiser who's been the guy, the point man to get these big donations they've been getting lately. Maybe he could do it. He's young, you know, and doesn't have that level of experience, but I'm not sure who else does, so I would think it would probably be one of those two, and you'd have to expedite the search for a new athletic director. It's not like basketball, obviously, where you can say, like, this guy's a local DMV person who could come back and this and that. Like, there's no obvious person. Some people have even floated Gary Williams. I know a few people close to him have talked to him or expressed, you know, seeing if he'd be interested in coming on an interim role, you know, just for a little while. I don't know if that's going to happen. Obviously, Gary's 80 now. I can't imagine he'd want that headache, but it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
Mm. All right. Remind us now, let's go through the history of the ADs, at least since you've been. So I don't know if you were there when Debbie Yao was there.
Oh, yeah.
But Debbie, and then was it Anderson after that?
Yep.
You can't remember. And then it was Dame. Has that been the recent history?
Yep, that's the string right there. You know, Debbie Yao was very polarizing.
Totally.
Gary hated her. Yeah. My dealings with her were not enjoyable, to be completely honest.
right.
But she did do, you know, you do have to give her credit. They won, and this is because of Gary, not her, but still, it's hard to win a national title. They won the title in basketball. You know, she hired Ralph Regan, and he turned around the football program. So she was pretty good with her hires. It was just a lot of the other things. And the ill-fated decision to expand the football stadium, you know, people talk a lot about that as a negative. And then Kevin Anderson comes along when she goes to NC State. And
he was like a smug, pompous guy, man. I didn't like
him. Yeah, smug and pompous are not good, but they're really not good when there's just not that much substance to back them up. So he was in over his head, to be completely honest, although he was, you know, part of that crew that transitioned them, that accepted the Big Ten offer and transitioned them to the Big Ten. A lot of that was just right place, right time, but you still have to give him credit to some extent for that. And then he actually hired Damon Evans in a staff, you know, associate AD kind of role to come in, and Evans essentially pushed him out the door, you know, and took the job, basically. I mean, he pulled off. So it's not like Willard's move was the only dirty politics that have been played, because mm-hmm. Evans got the job in a similar kind of way. And so he's been the AD for, you know, about, it's amazing, about 10 years now.
I can't believe that guy lasted that long, honestly. Honestly. What's Locke's? Because I know Gary kind of had a love-hate thing with the football stuff. Like, he wanted it to be commingled and good and everything, but he always would get bitter. Too many resources or too much attention, you know, that sort of thing. Locke's is such a great guy. We have him on all the time. But what's the Locke's-Willard relationship?
I don't know of any, like, issues between them. I don't think they're best buddies, but, you know, it's... It becomes such a zero-sum game now with this new salary cap and having to decide exactly how much, you know, you can still do some, there's some flexibility with NIL and such, but really where the money is at and the resources are in that $20 million that you can spend every year on your total athletic program to pay athletes. And so once you get, I'm sure it's becoming adversarial probably at a lot of schools now that it's a zero-sum
game. You can't coexist.
Like that. Exactly, and everybody thinks they deserve more than the other programs. So, and that's definitely the case for Locke's. You know, he still, even despite last year, he feels confident that they can get things turned around. He still feels like he can go to a college football playoff at Maryland and, you know, put together a great roster through the transfer portal and high school recruiting. And so, you know, I'm sure he probably feels like they deserve, or they need, I should say, even more than they were going to get, which was, you know, by everything I gathered, about $14 million out of the $20 million next year. So who makes the decision now on, like, where, who gets how much money? That's going to be the interesting part.
Jeff, I can't tell you my source, but my source tells me that, is it Colleen Sorum?
Yes.
That she's very difficult to work with. What have you heard about that?
Well, I haven't worked with her. I don't know her well. All I can say really there is I don't think Kevin Willard's relationship with her is any better than Evans.
Right.
And from everything I've gathered, it's not as good as it was with Evans.
Right.
So
gotcha.
That's the interesting part, though, because she's, to me, seemingly next in line.
She might be next in line, right, exactly.
At least in an interim basis, so he might have put her in charge by, you know, kind of punting Evans out the door.
All right.
Talking to Jeff Ehrman, the founder of InsideMDSports.com. All right, so let's get to the court.
Yep.
They've got Grand Canyon today. What are your thoughts? The people that are worried about Maryland worry about the depth, but it's how they've rolled all year. And really, the last couple of months, they've only lost on buzzer beaters.
Yeah, I think, you know, the depth is a little bit of a concern, but now here in the NCAA tournament with, you know, extended commercial breaks, and there's just that one time in each of the first two weekends where you're playing on one day rest. So it shouldn't be a huge thing, you know, at least in terms of like fatigue and things like that, in terms of if a couple of your starters have an off day and you don't have anybody on the bench who can kind of make up for it, then it could become a thing. But when you look at it, you know, Grand Canyon has some things to be worried about. They have a ton of experience, a lot of guys who've played and won in the NCAA tournament. They knocked off St. Mary's last year. They play good defense. They're not a really explosive offensive team. They don't shoot the three well, and you would think that, you know, Queen and Reese could probably bully them inside. So you know, they have a little bit of a dangerous look, but I think Maryland's a 10-point favorite for a reason there. And then it'll probably get a little harder, assuming they win in the second round. It'll probably get a little harder with Colorado State or Memphis. Colorado State has one of the you know, kind of prized young coaches in the country, Nico Medved, a guy who a lot of people, a lot of Maryland fans wanted them to consider last time around when they ended up hiring Kevin Willard. But, you know, either way, if you're Maryland, you've had this kind of season, you have this level of talent that you haven't had in a while, and, you know, the fans are so hungry to finally play on the second weekend, which, as you guys know, has happened once in the past 20-plus years. You just have to, I think you just have to find a way. You got to win both those games. And then, you know, obviously everybody wants to see you go on, but I know no one's going to ride if you lose to a team like Florida that could win it all.
Yeah, we got one minute left. If they do lose to Grand Canyon, certainly the media is going to say, Willard was a distraction. Do you think that's going to happen from what he said?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think they'll win, but yeah, I think a lot of people, I would say he made a lot of fans yesterday with his speech about wanting to win the national title and needing more resources and all these things. He made a lot of fans, and he can continue to grow that political capital, or he could really, if they were to lose somehow today, it would come crashing in a massive fireball.
Right. Yeah. Let's hope it doesn't happen.
All right, Jeff. Good stuff, man. Appreciate you joining us.
Yep, thanks for having me, guys.
Yep, right. Jeff Ehrman, the founder of InsideMDSports.com on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Scheduled to join us next from the Washington Capitals, it's Nick Dowd. Don't go anywhere.